Well, hey, man.
Hey, bro.
Cheers.
Cheers, my man.
Clink.
Clink.
What you drinking? That's a nice looking bevy.
This is called Juice Force.
Juice Force. IPA?
It is, but it has like a lot of orange juice in it. So I'm getting my vitamin C.
Yeah, I'm just a health nut.
Health nut.
You've always been all about your immune system, keeping it going.
I had to stretch out before I sat on the floor today because like my hip will just pop out of socket every once in a while. I had like the worst back pain and like hip pain lately, and I'm like, oh, I'm just getting so old. I need to sort something out. I don't know.
In the wintertime, you get your vitamin D, you can drink a milk stout, you know, so.
Oh, okay,
vitamin D intake.
I thought you meant for the calcium or whatever.
Milk. Vitamin D. We're not actually doctors on Sippin' Mimos.
Right. Oh, by the way, welcome back to Sippin' Mimos.
Welcome back to Sippin' Mimos.
I'm Elliot.
And I'm Jake. And this is the internet's premier, oftentimes citrus-based libation podcast. And, that's right. Nice.
Citrus-based beer tonight.
Where Elliot and I pick out an album each episode and dissect it and talk about it alongside a lot of other different things that we find interesting.
Correct.
Thank you for tuning in. Elliot, how have you been?
Woo! I've been all right, man. Been all right. Been all right. Yeah.
All right. All right. All right.
I've been all right three times. Correct. We had a little break in the hot weather. And we got a crazy thunderstorm last night. Did you hear that?
It was awesome. I know. It's like it's a Texas cold front. It's 89 degrees today. I love it.
Okay. Oh, it's freezing. I put my parka on, and I sat out front and watched the lightning. It was really lovely. It was very cool. How you been, man?
You know, like been doing well. Right. No, I was just like that's something, you know, like for those that aren't familiar with, like, you know, Texas summers, they're oftentimes very intense, and any occasion of rain, it's like Christmas morning in a lot of ways. Like I went and looked out the window and, you know, cracked the window and smelt the rain. It was quite lovely and such a welcome change from the triple digits.
Yeah. Every time it rains in Austin summer, a demon gets its wings.
This is true. This is true. A rain demon.
Yeah. Yeah, a rain demon. Yeah.
Ooh, that's a metal band.
Rain demon.
You'd spell rain R-E-I-G-N.
God damn it. That's a great punch up. Demon.
That's actually really cool. That could be like our like Sippin' Mimos side project band.
What about Demon Rain? Like Demon Rain with the R-E-I.
I think I like that better.
Do you? All right. Well, I hit it. I tennis balled it right across back the fence to you.
Demon Rain.
All right, we're off to a loosey-goosey start. I love it. Jake, how you been? Have you I'm gonna get ahead of you when you want to ask me this. Have you seen, tasted, farted, swallowed, punched, fought, fallen down on anything cool lately?
Recently, I don't know why, but I went through a really big Tom Cruise phase.
Was Maverick came out?
Oh, yes. That's what prompted it. But my fiance had never seen Top Gun. So I said, babe, we got to see Top Gun. We got to watch Top Gun, babe. And it was perfect, too, because we just finished watching Stranger Things. So it's like kind of in that 80s, just kind of... Danger Zone to make Kenny Loggins fun.
Loggins?
Is it Loggins or Loggins?
Loggins.
Loggins is the thing that you take for your sore throat, right?
lodge in is like when you're inside of a cabin for a weekend. I'm in that lodge.
That's when you're trying to sign into your internet profile.
Lozenge is a cough drop.
That's it.
Is cough drop a regional phrase? Cough drop.
Cough drop.
Cough drop. We would always call the throat lozenges cough drops. And when I was a kid.
See, we call them coffee pills. Or coffee. Damn it! I could make the job. It's like cough pills. Man, we're like 5 minutes in.
It's not wrong. No, we're fine. It's great.
By the time we get to today's album, we're gonna be like cry singing waterfalls.
Spoilers. Stop it. Oh, but anyways, you watched a couple of Tom Cruise movies? What?
Yeah. So, did Top Gun. It's fantastic. I also went through kind of like a mini Michael Mann phase as well.
Yeah.
Did you ever see Thief with, James Caan, Jim Belushi, and Willie Nelson?
No.
It's fantastic. From like, I think 1980. It's one of Mann's first movies. Just amazing, amazing story, amazing soundtrack by Tangerine Dream.
One of Mann's first movies.
Mann's.
wait, Tangerine Dream though. That crosses my plate. Okay, that's cool.
It's killer. Total recommend.
Right on. Thief. Thief.
Thief. Yeah. The artwork is killer for it. The poster.
Jim Belushi.
But, yeah.
Okay. Very curious.
And then Collateral. Talk about Michael Mann.
Did you ever see hell yeah. Cruz and Fox. Yeah.
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 I remember when that one came out and being like, wait, Tom Cruise is the bad guy? What, you know, like,
yeah,
I thought that was very, because up until that I really only saw him as a bad guy in like Interview with the Vampire.
Oh yeah, I've never seen Interview with the Vampire all the way through.
That one's a trip.
I'll just say I've never seen it. I know what it is. I've seen like scenes of it or something like that. I don't know, Brad Pitt's in it or whatever. I don't know.
And then Antonio Banderas.
Oh, of course. So just like a handsome fest.
Oh yeah. It's like a Beefcake Mountain. It's just
Beefcake Mountain.
Oh yeah. That's the other band name.
I thought that may be our episode title, but okay.
Ooh, I like that. but no, just doing my little cruise-a-thon and
we call it going cruising.
Going cruising. And then a couple other things, but I'll save them after I hear what you've been into lately.
Oh man. I did watch Stranger Things. But I've seen a bunch of movies. I've just gone on to the movies a bit. Did you see, I certainly saw Top Gun Maverick, there was a moment I didn't have tears in my eyes the entire time through.
Wow.
I kind of loved it. And
I've heard a lot of people have that reaction. What was it about Maverick that affected you that way?
Okay. Like, well, I hadn't seen the original in a long time. I haven't seen the original in a long time, but I remember it, of course. Yeah. And then like it opens with Don Simpson, Jerry Bruckheimer logo. With like the lightning on the tree and all this, and I'm like, oh wow! And then it opens with like the same exact font as the and I noticed these things because I'm a designer of sorts, and you just hear the boom,
wow,
and like it's almost shot for shot like the same, down 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 down, and I was like, oh, and like the font's there, and it looks like it's shot on film, and then record needle right into Danger Zone, and I'm like, oh, this is fucking great. And then the opening sequence, this isn't a spoiler or anything, but like it's Tom Cruise getting into a ship that goes crazy fast, and he's approaching like an insane speed, and he just, you know, to himself just goes, talk to me, Goose. And I started tearing up. I'm like, oh no, 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 no. Oh, and I like, and I didn't let up for the entire movie. Jennifer Connelly is in it and she looks amazing. I know Jennifer Connelly is like, forget it. I can't even, I'll cry talking about her. But I'll cry talking about her as a person because I respect her so much, damn it. But I really enjoyed the shit out of that. But I went inside the theaters and like during the trailers, a guy sits next to me and it's at the Alamo and you know they serve beer there and all that. And the Alamo server turns to the guy next to me and he's like, hey man, you've had like a lot to drink. This is during the trailers.
They're telling the guy next to you this?
They're telling the guy, the stranger that's sitting next to me, hey man, are you okay? We might have to cut you off. And I'm like, how long have you been here, man? Like, the movie hasn't even started yet. He's like, I'm fine, I'm fine, I'm fine. And so they're like, all right, we got a, you know, 2.5 hour movie to watch. So he'll sober up, I guess. Would you like some water? He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So this guy ended up being my best buddy for the entire movie. we were having so much fun. Like during the there's like a beach volleyball scene, of course, because you have to. His girlfriend leaves and goes to the bathroom. He's like, oh, she's going to be mad. She missed this. Like, because like, all these shredded dudes like throwing a football or whatever. I think it's football. And then like there's a scene where like, you know, one of the jets like is missile locked. And there's like a missile after the jet. And we both turn to each other in the middle of the theater. We both just go, flares at the same time. And then in the movie they go flares. You shoot flares to take care of the missiles. Oh, we had a good old time at the drunken movies. I took care of him. I made sure he was all right and all that. It was fine. But at the end of the day I was like, hey man, you were a good stranger movie partner to hang out next to. I had a really good time there. Beyond that, I saw Everything Everywhere All at Once.
We talked about wanting to see it, but not having seen it yet.
I finally saw it, Jake.
That good?
It is transcendent. It's one of the best movies I've maybe ever seen. And certainly one of the best movies I've ever seen in this you know short, ridiculous decade we've had. And in the best, I don't know, 8 years? It is truly, truly incredible. And I that's high praise. And I can't recommend it enough. Everything Everywhere All at Once. It is beautiful. It's directed by Daniel. It's the same guys that did Swiss Army Man. It's weird and it's hilarious. It's like it's heartfelt and the action's insane. It's fucking awesome. I insist you see it.
I really, really want to see it. Is it Michelle Yao, or
Michelle Yao.
I she's wonderful. I love her in Crazy Rich Asians. She like kind of stole the show in Shang-Chi, you know. And I did not realize this, but she is kind of like in my movie life for as long as I can remember. Because she was in Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Of course.
And then I think one of the Brosnan, Tomorrow Never Dies, James Bond.
Is that right?
Yeah. And I just like, it's like one of those actors that, you know, has been like consistently like crushing it and just, you know, and you find out they've been in all these like fantastic movies throughout your life. And it's just like, that's amazing. So I really, really want to see it. Every time I would see a trailer for that, my mind would just be completely blown. So I'm really excited to hopefully see it.
I think it's streaming right now. Please, Jake and listeners. Oh my God. Oh, If it costs $5 on Amazon, I'll Venmo you right now. I swear to God. Like, I'm not even kidding.
You've famously done that before. I remember, I forget what movie it was.
What did I Venmo you for?
It wasn't for me because I'd seen it, but you were talking to like a friend and you were just like, you haven't seen, I think it was in our group chat, and you were like, you haven't seen it. I just Venmoed you $5. Go watch it.
when there's a movie that like I insist upon people watching, and because I know it's going to better them as a human being, I'm not even kidding. Oh God, it's so good. Yeah.
She was in Guardians of the Galaxy too, looks like.
Really?
Yeah. Huh.
So I don't like, she came up in like the 60s, Michelle Yao came up with the 60s and like, I don't know, 70s? Like with like Jackie Chan movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And she became like a formidable fucking, because she was like a dancer and then like got into the like kung fu of it all and martial arts and all that. And she's just amazing. And now she, you know, she's older and she's like, well, I guess I'm done. But like these Daniels, the Daniels, the directors of this movie, it's like, we started writing this multiverse movie, you know, I tried to explain it to my stepdad and he's like, I don't like all that sci-fi nonsense, but it's not that at all. You know, it's not multiverse of madness. It's not like up its own ass about the sci-fi of it all and the rules. It's just like, this is a story about a family and some of them might be multiversal gods. Okay. And they have to figure the shit out while also running a laundromat. It's fucking fantastic.
It's got James Hong in it, right? He was, we talk about Wayne's World just about every other episode.
The father.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's the grandpa in this one, yeah. And he's really good, too. Holy shit.
Actually, I'd never seen Blade Runner. And So I started watching that recently. Gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
Okay. Damn movie. Have you've seen that one, right? Okay. This is why we have this show together, because we can share these things with each other.
We can talk Blade Runner. I have not seen it all the way through because God damn, it's a sludge. Like, did you watch it in one night?
No. I watched about an hour and then I had to go take a walk.
Yeah. Like, ugh.
I think it's really incredibly shot.
Of course.
It's, you know, Ridley Scott, you know, so it's like,
you might say you might say it's Ridley shot.
Ridley. Oh, I like that. maybe that could be the episode title, Ridley shot, not Beefcake Mountain. No, it's kind of like everything he did in the, like on the Nostromo, but in the city of Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Harrison Ford, who I just, you know, I would watch Harrison Ford. Great cheese. I love him.
Great cheese.
Yeah.
you want to hear my impression of Harrison Ford grating cheese?
Let's hear it.
No, it's fucking cheese. grating cheese for talking. I was talking about cheese. Okay. I was in Blade Runner.
All right, that's it. That's a really good Harrison Ford.
I get one impression of an episode.
Do you ever do that when you're like alone or you're like driving in the car and you're just like, and try to do like, you try to like nail like a famous accent and you're just kind of like, and then you do, and then no one's around. It's kind of like a tree falling in the forest.
If I'm near tangerines, I'm always like the size of a tangerine. How can I not? How could I not do that? The size of a tangerine.
That's we should end the episode right there. That's brilliant.
We burned the jungle to the ground. Okay. Yeah. I did, but I tell you though.
I saw something today. I don't know how true it is, but it said Christian Bale would return to play Bruce Wayne only if Christopher Nolan asked him to.
Yeah, that checks. I also saw a thing about him because he's in Love and Thunder, right? He's the villain in Love and Thunder, the new Thor movie.
Gore, the God Butcher.
Oh, that comes out in like a couple weeks as of recording. And you got my $15. I'm going to see the shit out of that. We're gonna have to talk about that. But someone had to tell him what the MCU was. Like, oh, so you're in the MCU? He's like, what? He didn't know what it was. He didn't know what it was.
I kind of love that though.
Yeah, good, good, good. I don't need Christian Bale being to. I don't think he needs to watch 38 movies to know to be influenced by them.
I saw this thing where he was like, yeah, like I saw a couple mentions of him or articles where that, you know, were tweeted about him. And the other thing was, I guess, because he's probably doing press for Thor.
Sure.
The other thing was like, he was like, oh, they don't watch the movies of the director. That's like Keanu doing a bad English accent.
No, that's not a bad Christian Bale. Go ahead, keep going.
He's like, oh, they don't watch the movies of the directors I'm in. I don't. And maybe I'll watch one of them. That's like Keanu. That's like Keanu doing Jonathan Harker.
No, it's not bad at all, dude. That's pretty close to Christian Bale. Yeah, I just don't think he watches a lot of movies. I think he's just an actor, and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of love Christian Bale. He's
oh, forget cool. it. I can't wait.
Speaking of Disney Plus, have you started Obi-Wan yet?
I haven't started Obi-Wan Kenobi. I haven't started Bad Batch. I haven't started Book of Boba Fett. I've gotten like a couple episodes into Mandalorian. I am way behind on the Star Wars shows. I essentially just have not watched any of them. What'd you think about Obi-Wan Kenobi, Jake?
It's the best of the three.
Whoa, really?
It's the best of Mandalorian, Boba Fett, it's killer. Grogu, aka Baby Yoda, I think.
Baby Yoda, yeah.
Absolutely adorable. I will buy a stuffed animal of that character 100%.
But Kenobi is better?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Ewan, we just, you know, is magnetic, you know? And honestly, Hayden Christensen,
yeah,
it's kind of awesome to see him step into that role.
Love that.
But yeah, Kenobi, cool. Totally recommend. I won't spoil anything.
Okay.
Maybe we'll talk about it next time.
Okay. Cool. Jake, have you ever heard about a movie called RRR?
No, you said this in our group chat and I was not familiar with it. I thought it was this. I thought you were getting into the Randy Rogers band. They're a country group. And I was like, all right, right on, Elliot. And then, no, but tell me about this.
It might surprise you that I wasn't talking about the Randy Rogers band, but I was talking about this film called RRR. It's an Indian movie. It's currently on Netflix. It's the biggest movie on the other side of the hemisphere, or the other hemisphere. It's RRR, Rise, Roar, Revolt. It's the craziest shit I've ever seen in my entire life, and it's awesome. It's awesome. After you finish watching Everything Everywhere All at Once, please watch RRR. It's Bonkaroonies. Everything's dot up to 13. It's crazy. The action is insane. The romance is insane. The humor is hilarious. The dancing and the singing is next level. It is I believe it's actually technically a Tollywood movie, not a Bollywood movie. It's in film. But it's shot majestically. It is beautiful. It's like two of the biggest stars in India, and with directed by the biggest director in India. And all their initials spell out RRR. So it's kind of like, it's like the end game of fucking Tollywood movies. Yeah. So it is a big ass deal, and it's so goddamn fun. And I deeply, deeply highly recommend it.
Awesome. I love that it's on Netflix.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's long. And it's 3 hours long, and you feel it because like the act structure. So show to take breaks, blah blah blah. But it's so fucking cool. Awesome. It's very cool.
I'll check it out. The poster looks absolutely bonkers, but I love it. But you, the other one, you mentioned it briefly, but that new Thor, Love and Thunder. I'm so excited for that. Like, we went to go see Elvis on Sunday. Wasn't my favorite movie ever, but we got to see this preview for this Thor movie. And, you know, may have mentioned Guns N' Roses on the show before. But Sweet Child of Mine is one of my favorite songs ever. And it's constantly featured in that trailer. And I get the goosies every time I hear it. I'm so excited. yeah, it's just, you know, I can describe, just watching that trailer, it makes me, I can only describe it maybe in three ways. I think it looks, I think it looks crazy. I think, you know, you got a Hemsworth in it. So I think it looks sexy. God damn, the way that movie is shot, I think it looks cool as hell. Are you ready to talk about TLC?
I sure am, Jake.
Here we go. Let's try that again.
No, we're leaving all that in. All
right. Here we go. My album this week was TLC's Crazy Sexy Cool, released in 1994. Man, Elliot, what did you think of Crazy Sexy Cool?
I thought it was all right. no, I dug it. You know, I remember this stuff being inescapable when it came out. Of course, I remember Creep and Waterfalls. I really dug the horn blares and the kind of funky jazziness to it, and then like, and then Waterfalls has some like really great like snare rolls, don't go, like, come on, like really, really good stuff. And then I had listened to the whole album, of course, Crazy Sexy Cool, but I found some hidden gems on here, man. But I dug it. These ladies can harmonize and they can sing their, you know, butts off. It's got a lot of, it's a very sexy album. It's also quite humorous, and like they even like have like comedic interludes and stuff like that, which I really dug. The production's a bit raw for my tastes. Like those 909s and all that are like, they're right there in the mix. Which is, that's fine. It's just, I think it's part of the era. So it's like almost minimal design, minimal production. But like, I dug it as a body of work. I'm like, okay, interesting, and quite a ton of times. And I couldn't help but wonder, like, you know, like how much of this was what these ladies were going through, or and wanted to talk about, and how much was, you know, producer influenced, of course, and like, and who was writing these tunes, of course, Doug. Creep, of course, Doug Waterfalls, really jammed on Switch, the track Switch with Mr. Big Stuff sample. I really liked that a lot. That was a cool idea.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. I growing up in the 90s, you kind of said it best. Like this stuff, this album, TLC, they were kind of, you couldn't escape them, you know, and that's not a bad thing. I can remember watching the music video for Creep, where they're you know, they're dancing in like satin pajamas. So I was about 6 or 7 when this one dropped, and I can remember clearly watching those music videos. They're very sexy, very, very like
crazy and cool.
Exactly. You know, it's like they were onto something. But yeah, and I just remember being like, being a little kid and being like, damn. Like, you know, it was something I remember, you know, damn near 28 years later, you know, vividly. And of course, like the music video for Waterfalls, I remember as well, because I remember the, you know, it was a very clear storyline. You know, it was the young kid who was getting involved with like drugs, you know, and I remember so clear, his mom was like begging him not to go out, you know, but he told his mom no, and he ends up, you know, getting killed. I remember like being a kid and seeing that and being like, oh my god, that's terrifying. And then of course the other story being told in the song was a guy who passes away from HIV. And I remember seeing in the video, it's like, man, it's so wild how your memory just like, there's just some things that are just so kind of like talking about like Lenny Kravitz or Ray of Light, just like these music videos are so just ingrained into my memory. I remember in the Waterfalls music video, it's a couple and they're rolling around in bed, you know, and then the guy or the girl has a condom in her hand and he throws the condom away.
Oh.
And I remember seeing that and being like, oh, what, you know, like, and then he looks in the mirror and he's like looking at his eyes and then he disappears and the girl disappears, like they pass away. Probably like one of my favorite music videos of all time, which I, in my research, found out that the music video was shot by F. Gary Gray, who also directed Straight Outta Compton, the Ice Cube Chris Tucker movie Friday.
How about that?
And then of course when they turned into water.
This is water. Yeah, the early 90s effects of water morphing into them. Yeah. They got big pants on all that. I rewatched it too.
Yeah, I remember seeing this, the Red album, you know, gosh, you know, more than half my life. You know, with like
that red orange album with the white eyes.
Yes, the white eyes. You know, and
it's quite striking. I saw it the other day at the record store.
I know. I almost bought. So, spoiler alert, I would buy the vinyl. I think there are some bangers on there. But I almost bought it today, but I picked up an album by next episode's band. So,
ooh, I love that.
And I was on a budget.
Aren't we all?
But I'll go back to buy Crazy Sexy Cool. There's so many, the imagery, the album cover, the Waterfalls music video, which I also learned the lake that they shot Waterfalls was actually the same lake that they shot Jaws in.
Wait, what? That was an actual place?
Yeah.
It looked like it was okay.
Yeah.
Far out.
This one was released on November 15th, 1994. So it's going to be celebrating its 28th anniversary this fall.
94.
It's produced by legendary producers Babyface, Sean Puffin Combs, Jermaine Dupri, Dallas Austin, amongst others. The album is 12 times platinum in the United States.
Crazy.
And has sold 23 sexy cool and has sold 23 million copies worldwide.
All right.
And this is all from the you know, kind of like culled from the Wikipedia page, but the album saw the band go on to become the first girl group to ever be awarded diamond status, which is pretty amazing.
What's diamond status?
So when something goes diamond, it means that it sold 10 million units.
What's platinum?
Platinum, I think, is 1 million? No, that's an American Airlines. Like, what is platinum?
we're now allowing all our Diamond members and members of TLC to board first.
So this album saw TLC become the first girl group to ever be awarded diamond status. So
diamond status.
Yeah, so or that Emma Frost status, if you will.
Oh, wow. Deep X-Men cuts.
Deep cut on the X-Men.
So
Diamond status, if you're curious, that means 10 million units were sold. Below that is platinum, which means 1 million units were sold. And gold, an album goes gold, that means 500,000 units were sold.
Wow.
So okay. Staggering numbers.
Yeah. I'm trying to. Yeah. Okay. Far out. It's the first group of women to ever approach to get diamond status.
Yes.
Crazy. And do they still hold that, or are there others?
I imagine there's others. I know, well, as far as groups go, I don't
groups.
Know.
Okay, yeah, groups. I perhaps Madonna, maybe, but
I think Adele is
certainly there. But that's not, yeah, but like groups though.
Yeah. I know TLC is the greatest selling female group in American history.
Crazy. Sexy. Cool.
And so, yeah, I just, another cool thing about, so the group is from Atlanta. And actually, I didn't realize this album features a lot of really prominent Atlanta vocalists and MCs, particularly CeeLo Green singing backing vocals on Waterfalls.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite MCs, Andre 3000.
Andre's on there. Yeah. I love Andre.
He does the intro verse to Something Wicked This Way Comes, the album's closer.
Yeah. Tell me about If I Was Your Girlfriend.
If I Was Your Girlfriend?
Because I did a deep dive into this one, and it appears that Prince wrote it?
Yes, it's a cover.
It's a cover of a Prince tune?
Yes.
Okay. Because it's awesome, and I looked at the Prince version, and I saw that, and then I listened to that, and which is awesome. Also, of a 90s band of mine that's a favorite of mine, Eels, covered it.
I remember Eels.
I love Eels.
I remember that band, yeah.
Yeah. They covered it too, and so that was a nice little gem in here that I really dug.
I think it's really, really special because Prince, from what I understand, he did not let just anyone cover his stuff.
Oh, he's real protective of his work, yeah.
Very, yeah, very much so. But yeah, I mean, there are some. I mean, of course, Creep is just insane, and then Waterfalls. If you want to put in the top 20, I would say maybe top 10 singles of the 90s. It's just,
ooh, that's bold.
But you have, let's see. So I really like Kick Your Game.
Yeah, I like that one too. Yeah, I like that one a lot. I wrote that one down.
I thought the little ding 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 little sample, I was like, is that Tears for Fears Shout sample? I couldn't find anywhere, but it sounds really close to it.
Okay.
I really like Digging on You, Case of the Fake People, and then had to have my handkerchief out and dab the sweat from my forehead after listening to Red Light Special.
Yeah.
That's a steamy song.
Yeah. Are they from downtown Atlanta?
You got that. Oh my God. I had to rewind.
What do you think I mean?
Oh. The lyric. That was, and I think it's one of the really, you know, kind of like in my final thoughts on Crazy Sexy Cool, I think that's what like really, really makes this album special, is that, like, you know, they're singing songs about sensuality. They're singing songs about sex and empowerment, and they're bringing attention to AIDS, you know, and violence in a lot of ways. But I think
one, because they were going through some stuff at the time too. I know Lisa Lopez was.
Exactly. Yeah. And I kind of did some research. I know a lot of the TLC story tends to kind of focus on Lisa Left Eye Lopez, RIP.
Yeah.
Because she, you know, she you know, had her struggles and went through some tough times for sure. And but having said that, I mean, what an MC, you know, like there's no rapper that sounds like her. Like maybe like you listen to her and you listen to like Nicki Minaj, and you can hear Lisa Left Eye Lopez in even, you know, today, 30 years after debuting, you know, and what a talent. But yeah, it's just, this album really touches on a lot of really amazing things. Red Light Special, super sensual. Pour yourself a nice glass of whiskey, light a candle, and just, you know, enjoy that one.
Light a candle and put this shit on. Holy God. Like, and I don't know, maybe just like, hey, you know, it'd be fun, you know, to say this to your lady friend, like, come over and watch TLC videos. Cause there's like, just these shredded dudes, like their shirts off, dancing around them and like worshiping them and all that. And like that's kind of cool. Especially for 94 when it was all like, you know, just butts in people's faces and shit like that. Like this is, they took it back, man. And like, they like no, we're doing that too, motherfucker. And I think that's very cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. Honestly, like with Red Light Special, even, you know, no matter who you're into, you can put that one on. And that one is like
truth.
That's rock and roll.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I really enjoyed getting to listen to this one. I totally understand what you're saying about like some of the mixing issues, especially I think when T-Boz sings, she gets kind of like lost in the mix, kind of buried. I love those horns. So I actually learned, so this album is like a combination of like Philly soul, which are those horns, and New Jack Swing, which is kind of like that hip hop influence R&B.
Okay.
Which I just think is fascinating, and I really would like to, you know, dive into that genre, because I think it's, you know, just really cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Crazy and sexy too.
It's sexy as shit. There's something about like these strong, empowered women harmonizing together and talking about shit with such confidence. And it's just like, yeah. And these, you know, these lower type of beats and like, you know, however high they are in the mix or whatever, it works. And there's, you know, of course this went, you know, diamond. Yeah. I think it's fantastic that it did. That's awesome.
So would you spin some TLC? Would you pick up a single or the vinyl and you drop it on one of your shows?
I'll grab the vinyl. Hell yeah. Oh my God. I almost did the other day. Like, ooh, I should. And I had to go. But yeah. I saw that there's like a repress. I saw it. I was like, oh, that'd be fucking awesome to have. I couldn't tell if it was like a single or a double. I would love like a double LP.
I think it's certainly like a gatefold for sure.
Oof. Okay, forget it. I'm going back. I'm going to get it.
I saw it at end of an year today.
Yeah. All right, there you go. That's where I was, man.
But yeah, man. So this was great. And it's great to listen to and really do a deep dive on it. Because, I mean, like I said, Creep and Waterfalls have been a part of my life for, you know, almost 30 years. So
yeah. Yeah, you know, there is a track on another album that came out a few years later that sounds like the title of a TLC track, and it's called Get Up On It Like This. You could imagine TLC having a track called that, but it's actually from a Chemical Brothers album called Dig Your Own Hole that was released in 1997.
Welcome back to the podcast, The Chemical Brothers.
Welcome back, Cambros. Back with another one of those block rocking beats.
when you said, when you mentioned you're bringing them back, I was very excited.
Yeah, so for some history here on the show and all that, Jake's a big fan, seemingly, third episode, I guess? That's third, like, album episode? Yeah, second episode, yeah. Yeah, we were still hanging out in my living room. That's why the audio is bad. One of the first episodes we did on the show, I recommended Surrender by... I gave Jake the homework of Surrender by Chemical Brothers, and you enjoyed it a great deal, right?
I took to that one very much so.
Yeah. And so now, like, boy, episodes and episodes later, I was like, let's return to Chemical Brothers and let's do Chemical Brothers' second album, Surrender by the third. Let's do their second album, Dig Your Own Hole. And this one kind of blew them up into the stratosphere. This one was a big old hit, and it is it's like this big beat psychedelic kind of album, and it kind of defined their sound for the next, up until now. Their album before this was Exit Planet Dust, and it was decidedly dancier, a little crustier in like the production. They didn't quite have the technology, but this one put them on the map just next level producers, and they started creating these insane sounds. And this one has this insane bass sound, these insane beats that are gigantic. The album opens with this beautiful intro. It's just wah, 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 wah. And then you just slowly hear this bass line pulling, and we just hear block rock on beats. And then from there, we're on an adventure. Jake, what did you think of Dig Your Own Hole?
Oh, this is wonderful.
Yeah?
This is my second experience really listening to the Chemical Brothers. And so normally, you know, if I really like an album or an artist, I always tend to find like a harder time getting into their previous work or... it's subsequent work. Not the case on this one. It was you mentioned it's their jilted generation, and I totally understood. There are differences and there are similarities to Surrender, but this one feels a little bit more raw. The drums are a little bit more in your face.
Yes.
I feel like a lot more sampling on this one than Surrender. Mm-hmm. I feel like maybe Surrender is more instrument driven, maybe synth driven.
Okay.
Yeah. But that being said, I thought this was a really, really fulfilling and enjoyable listen.
Oh, I'm so glad you enjoyed it. Yeah, this one came out in 1997, and it. We're gonna have to talk about 1997 in a minute, but this sleek ass like design of the album cover, this like very cool kind of sleek production style, this kind of trip that it takes you on, this beautiful sequencing of the album. It goes from like this big beat to funk to techno to like almost folk tronica to psychedelic. Like large noises and like to the point where like, how are they making that noise? These large like bow noises, and like, and then they'll just take one note and like stretch it out until it goes, and it creates another beat. And it's so beautiful to me. Like there's a lot of songs that connect and overlap. Like the album, like, you know, fades, like the tracks fade into each other. I remember like, falling in love with the intro to this album, the intro to Block Rock and Beats, and I would have friends over, and I would like, "Okay, do you want to hear something cool?" And I had a cool stereo at the time. I would turn it way up, or turn all the lights out, and like, and I would just start with Block Rock and Beats, and like, it's like, because it's such a cool way to start something. But the album also ends in a cool way. It was the first album that I think I put it into my head of like, oh, you have to have a big ass closer. The last track is like 9 minutes and 22 seconds. Perfect psychedelic reel. Is that my memory right?
Yeah. I think it's the longest song on the album.
Well, there you go.
This one, the songs are, they're not terribly long, which I found interesting from an electronic band. I know a lot of our electronic artists have their songs or orchestral, and there's movements, and that's why, hence the, you know, oftentimes, you know, long run times. But I didn't feel the length on this one. Like, I didn't, okay. I thought the songs, that just might be a testament to the Chemical Brothers. I mean, I could totally be incorrect and they could all be 8 minute songs, but I didn't feel that way.
Yeah, I know, I like that. I think that, yeah, they're frugal with their song, their, you know, track lengths and all that. Because they want this to be a cohesive album, and they don't want you to get bored. Because, you know, if you get bored with a certain song, and some of them are quite repetitive, and like, one of my favorite tracks on the album is called It Doesn't Matter. And it just starts with, it doesn't matter. It keeps doing that over and over again. But if you just give it a second, it just turns into this churning, like, locomotive of awesome techno. It's fucking awesome. I love it so much. And yeah, there's a lot of cool funk in here, and like, the bass is so heavy and like high in the mix. Oh man, I love it so much. And there's such a vibe to this album. It's like a very sleek, cool, chemically, like, however synthetic, kind of like silver, chromey vibe to it. And I dig it so much.
Almost like you say this album is crazy, sexy, cool.
You might say it's crazy, sexy, cool.
No,
you could say that.
I completely agree. I actually got to listen to this. So I'm working remotely. And so some days my fiance's home, you know, I'll say, okay, like, you know, watch your shows, and I'll put on my headphones and just like listen to music. And so I got to listen to this one with a really nice pair of headphones. And man, you're not lying about that intro to Block Rock and Beats. It is,
yeah,
it was quite something. It was, I actually rewound so I could listen to it again.
Wow. Any other tracks hit you?
Oh yeah, Big Daddy.
Oh, I love this.
So Dig Your Own Hole, the second track.
Sure.
I found the album got more and more psychedelic as it went on.
Correct.
And it was really, really funny because I'm like listening to him going through and I get to Setting Sun.
Okay.
And I'm just like, oh, okay, this is it. Like, this reminds me of Let Forever Be, which is my favorite track off of Surrender.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like listening to it. The drums are super psychedelic. It's like a, you know, it's like a 60s, you know, jam. And all of a sudden I hear a very familiar voice. And it's sure. Noel Gallagher from Oasis.
That's correct.
Also sang on Let Forever Be. And I'm just like, oh man, this So I would really love to learn, you know, because the Chemical Brothers are from Manchester, and have I shared that I think Manchester is my favorite music city ever?
I think you have before, but let's say it again. We're getting like, more clicks.
Honestly, the clicks are great and listeners are great. Thank you so much for listening, but like, not even trying to butter anyone up. Like, what a fantastic music city. And I just want to, I would love to learn the relationship to that. Like, did they go to each other's early shows? What was that like? Because I think that's really, really interesting that Oasis, a band famously prides itself on being like rock and roll, you know, participates in these electronic performances, and even had them at the Nebworth show. Really, really cool. But let's see.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. The aforementioned, it doesn't matter. Don't Stop the Rock. And then, of course, the private psychedelic reel. I don't think we ever heard anything like that on the show before.
Oof.
It was quite stunning. Even though it's the longest one on the album, like 9 minutes, it didn't feel that way. Yeah. I found it very interesting and intriguing. Especially with a nice pair of headphones on.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think my favorite song on this album is Where Do I Begin?
Yes. Okay. Beth Horton.
Beth Horton, yeah. Which, it's, I was kind of reading about her, and it looks like she has collaborated with some familiar names.
I know she has, yeah.
On this show, particularly William Orbit.
Yep, of course. The producer of Ray of Light by Banana.
Yeah. I really like, I like the Chemical Brothers when I'm assuming they're on the keys and they're creating their sounds or they're, you know, like I heard a lot of that with this song, and I think it's why I like connected to it or was drawn to it so much. Am I wrong there, or are they?
They are creating these sounds, however they do it. And there's always at least one or two tracks per album. They're like a very interesting case of like an album based electronic group. Like, they don't put out a lot of singles like in between albums necessarily. They're not like just, okay, here's our next single for, you know, every 2 months or whatever. They like putting albums out, and every one will have one or two or three kind of lovely folky tunes, which you'll hear in Surrender, you know. And I think I want a full album of their folktronica, if you want to call it that. Yeah. Because I think it's lovely, because they're really good at melodies and they're really good at producing this stuff and recording it. Yeah, this Beth Horton tune is so gorgeous. I think it's lovely. And of course it evolves into this, you know, beautiful, like psychedelic, you know, big beat craziness. But it's so cool. It's so cool. So I think that's when the Chems, as we call them, Tom and Ed. That's when Tom and Ed are at their best, I think. When they're making something heartfelt and kind of just beautiful.
Yeah,
their psychedelic electronic stuff got them a lot of attention, and I think the attention of Oasis. They're kind of almost shoegazy, like wall of sound stuff.
Yeah,
got the attention of, like, you know, Oasis and Mercury Rev, you know, members and stuff like that, to then collaborate with them enough where, like, yeah, the Gallaghers will collaborate with you and they'll put something out. Because Setting Sun is one of the heavier tunes on this album. It's very dense and like, there's a lot of stuff going on. But like, oh, by the way, here's the track, your vocals will be buried in this. Like, it's not a, you know, vocal heavy spotlight on the vocalist kind of tune. It is a Chemical Brothers tune, and you're just there along for the ride.
Man, Oasis dropped their first album the same year as Crazy Sexy Cool, 1994. That is crazy. What a year.
You know who else did? The music for The Jilted Generation came out in 94.
Wow.
Dummy by Portishead came out in 94.
No.
Yeah. Imagine Portishead producing TLC's Crazy Sexy Cool.
Oh, man.
That's the album I want to hear, man. That, like, just go full sultry and like dark with it. Red Light Special. It's like pops of like vinyl on, you know, samples, and oh my god, come on.
You know, like, we talked about how we, when we do our inaugural Sip and Mimos vinyl set, how we're gonna like mash up Aretha Franklin and Pantera's Walk and Respect. Man, like the way like Danger Mouse did like the Grey album.
Yes.
Like, that would be something to do, like have like Portishead produce something with like the vocals on like Crazy Sexy Cool. I think that would be like I think that would be amazing.
While I was listening to Crazy Sexy Cool, I was like, man, I need some of these vocals so I can put them over some drum and bass beats.
Man. That...
About the year that Dick and Roll Hall came out, in 1997. So in 1997, it was a wild-ass year for electronic music. This is what, you know, I've referred to in the past as like the late 90s boom of like electronic music. Come to Daddy, the Aphex Twin EP that we did for that Halloween special. That's with
the terrifying everything. Yeah.
With
you made me watch that damn music video and
yeah.
Haunted me.
Yeah, it's scary as shit. Fat of the Land came out by The Prodigy. Homework by Daft Punk came out.
That's insane to me. I can't believe that Better Living Through... Is it Better Living Through Chemistry? The Fat Boy Slim... Oh, man. Totally dropped
I think Better Living Through Chemistry came out in 96 or 95.
Yes. Like, and that is insane to me. I didn't realize that. Like, I would have... That one came... That one predated. But it wasn't Homework from, like... It was comprised of singles that came... That were from the early...
Daft Punk's Homework was comprised of a lot of singles that they have done before. Yes. Okay. But also when it came out in 97, Vegas by Crystal Meth. Same year as Fat of the Land, Come Out of Daddy, Homework, and Dig Your Own Hole.
Man.
This is a big ass year. You know what else came out?
Natalie and Brilliant. Oh.
Huh? Well, I was going to say OK Computer by Radiohead. It was just a big year for awesome music, man. I think, man. I don't know. Was 97 our peak as a culture? I don't even know.
That is quite so. And I think that might be the most featured year on our show from your featured albums.
Well, you can tell what years I was deeply, you know, focused in buying a lot of records. Yeah, that's for sure.
Have you seen those memes where it's like, and it's a father and son sitting in their car? It says, "Son, Dad, why is my sister's name Rose?" And then the dad says, "Oh, because your mom wanted to name."
wait, what?
Because your mom wanted to name you after something she loves. And the son says, "Oh, okay, I love you, Dad." And then it says, "Dad, I love you too, Stone Cold Steve Austin," or something. So for you, it'd be like, "I love you too, 1997 electronic album."
That's my daughter's middle name.
That's your daughter? Famously, that's your daughter's middle name.
Yeah, 1997 electronic.
Yeah. I love it. You know, actually, listening to these back-to-back, I think they really went well together.
Absolutely.
I it was really cool to revisit the Chemical Brothers. Absolutely adored Surrender. And I think Surrender's still my baby.
Sure.
Dig Your Own Hole will probably be in my year end top 10 for sure.
Are you gonna give it another re-listen? Would you buy the vinyl if you saw it in the wild?
Oh yeah, for sure. This was a treat. You said listen to it in your car, and I did. And there are some bangers. Man, I can't get over the fact that so many great albums came out in 97.
Isn't it wild?
But no, this was a real treat, and it was great to revisit this group for sure.
Awesome.
All right. So for next time.
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna build on this 1997 phenomena and gift you an album from that glorious year.
Okay.
So I mentioned earlier, I was gonna buy Crazy Sexy Cool. I ended up finding a record that I've never actually seen in the wild by this band. They're one of my favorite pop punk bands from the 90s, and they, you know, still make music. And I've been wanting to talk about them for a while because I think they're an interesting group and they can really write a very catchy song.
Okay.
So catchy.
Okay.
So for next time, we're going to be talking about Ixnay on the Ombre by the band The Offspring. From the year 1997.
Ixnay on the Ombre. I'm tangentially familiar with The Offspring. Which tracks are on that one?
Keep an eye out for Gone Away. It's a ballad. It's an Offspring ballad. But it's pretty awesome. And check out All I Want. Those are pretty hot.
Okay. Offspring. First time on the show? I'm going to do a first time too, because I just did two repeats in a row. So you're just going pop, catchy pop, pop, poppy. I'm going to go, okay. Yeah, yeah. You know what? It's time to give you a punishing one. In the realm of electronica, there's a lot of different subgenres. Electronica is my umbrella term for all that, all of electronic music. You know, there's ambient, there's, you know, there's trance, there's house, there's techno, there's drum and bass, there's, you know, and all of the in-betweens, there's all usually figured out by tempos and all this. And then in the realm of techno, which is usually about 120, 130 BPMs, there is a genre of like hard techno. And then there's a, and beyond that, there is a genre of maximal and minimal techno. And I'm going to have you listen to a pioneer of minimal techno named Richie Hawtin.
Richie Hawtin?
Richie Hawtin. H-A-W-T-I-N. And he put out a mix album of sorts, a compilation album, you might call it, called Dex, EFX, and 909. So this is a performance by him with two turntables, an effects machine, and a Roland 909.
Ooh, I'm excited. I never had to do this before.
Okay, this is some kind of underground shit. we're going full techno.
Have we heard anything like this before?
We have not.
Oh man.
This has been on my list for a while and I've been like hesitant to suggest it because I'm like, oh, he's not going to like that. But like this might after two albums that you like, I feel like it's my duty to like make you go into the deep end a little bit.
Dex EFX 909, 1999, about an hour long.
Correct.
Okay, cool. I just want to make sure I got the right one.
You're meant to listen to it in one sitting, ideally. This is okay. We're breaking some rules, but you've been breaking rules left and right with your Depeche Mode and TLC. So I'm going to break this rule because this is an album, but it's not quite an album because it features songs from other people, but he's mixing them on top of his own stuff.
Okay.
And I can't wait to talk to you about how that all works.
Awesome.
So we're going to get into like the idea of DJing next time.
Okay. So if you could compare this to any of our previous albums or artists, who would it most closely resemble?
That's a fun question to ask. I would have to say it's closer to Orbital and Underworld than anything else, only because it's they are closer to techno than any other albums we've discussed. This is techno. Techno is often used as an umbrella term for electronic music, at least it was back in my day. This is techno, the genre. This is Canada Detroit techno. This is some crazy ass minimal kind of dark warehouse, single strobe light techno. I'm throwing you into the deep end of DJ mixes because I want to do some more DJ mixes in the future.
Yeah.
This is a compilation album.
I really like listening to a live 97, the Daft Punk album we listened to, the live one.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that was good homework.
Nice.
To see. Thank you. That was a sip of Mimo's joke.
No, that's good.
So listen, I'm excited. I'm excited to push myself. Very cool. I'm excited. You mentioned Depeche Mode, and I'm grateful for that because I wanted to mention. We have had a passing of an electronic music titan, Mr. Andrew Fletcher, founding member of Depeche Mode, passed away. May 26th of this year, 2022. Can't say how much of a treat it was to listen to Violator and to discuss with you. And I know you were playing, was a very big part of that album. So, any fans, friends, fan members, anyone, any fans of Depeche Mode, please accept our condolences and know that listening to his album was truly, well, listening to any Depeche Mode album it was truly a treat. And rest in peace, Andy Fletcher.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
But, all right. So we got our home, we got our work cut out for us. It sounds like I'm going to have to turn my brain on and listen to Richie Hawkins, and you just kind of have to pour like yourself a Lone Star and just like vibe out to the Offspring.
I'm going to vibe out. You got to like concentrate. Yeah. So enjoy yourself.
Sounds good.
You're allowed to turn off too to this. You just let it vibe.
Let it just wash over me.
Let it wash over you. Yeah, exactly.
Awesome, man. Well,
all right.
Well, Elliot, thank you so much for bringing the Chemical Brothers back on my radar. I hope you enjoy TLC.
I love TLC.
And I didn't get to mention, TLC followed up Crazy Sexy Cool with Fan Mail, which had no Scrubs on it.
Right.
So the like vocal group of the 90s, like you can hear them in Spice Girls and Destiny's Child, like they're everything. So it was such a blast listening to that
one. In No Scrubs, they call out Busta and he's on Crazy Sexy Cool. I wonder what happened there. So much drama appears to be behind the TLC thing, which I'm very curious about.
I know. But
my guys don't have drama. My guys don't have drama. They're all robots.
I know. Well, as always, thank you so much for listening to Sip and Mimos. Wherever you do listen, thank you for finding us. And we really would appreciate a rate and comment if you're into that. If you'd like to drop us a line or recommend some really underground electronica or rock and roll, send us an email at sipandmimospod@gmail.com.
Well remembered.
Thank you.
Follow us on Instagram. That's an easier way to get at us. And tell your friends and all the other things podcasts usually tell you to do. Blah, blah, blah. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you for listening, and hope you enjoyed. Hope you do. If you listen to it afterwards, enjoy TLC and Chemical Brothers.
And I think above all, Jake, we would just like to ask our listeners to
always stay sipping.
Stay sipping.
I'll catch you next time, dude.
We nailed that in unison. That was beautiful.